Father, the Son.
Chapter 30. This chapter is called The Gopi's Search for Krishna. Here is where Srimati Radharani's name is disclosed in Bhagavatam. The topic about Srimati Radharani, which we're going to discuss today, are very, very elevated and very confidential and not understandable by materialistic people. Therefore, even in Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami has been very discreet. But here in this verse, which we're going to study, her name escaped, even though he was trying to keep her name hidden. So we'll see. First, I want to say this. Kana Mantra Sri Koshi Mantra Radharani. Bhakta Tansa Rodhani Rade Vrindava Nishari Vrishabha Sukhade Radhaman Hari. Melody from Bhagavata. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ananya Paravitaha Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvaraha Yat Vihaya Govinda Vita Yam Sanayat Rahaha Ananya Radhito Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara
Ananya
Radhito Nunam.
perfectly worshipped.
Perfectly worshipped.
Nunam.
Nunam.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Arehi.
Arehi.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Ishwaraha.
Ishwaraha.
The Supreme Controller.
The Supreme Controller.
Yet.
Yet.
Inasmuch as.
Inasmuch as.
Naha.
Naha.
Thus.
Vihaya,
rejecting,
Govindaha,
Lord Govinda,
Vritaha,
pleased,
Yam,
whom,
Anayat,
led,
Rahaha,
to a secluded place. Translation. These are the gopis speaking. Krishna's in the forest with the gopis. And they say, certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Before I read the purport, let me tell you what's happened. This is the takes place during the Krishna's Rasa Lila, when Krishna had his pastime with the gopis. This takes place only in Vrindavan. We should understand about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What it means when we, particularly if we talk about Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan. The best way I can explain this is saying that when Krishna is in Vrindavan, we get a glimpse of the private life of God. God is all-powerful, almighty, full of all opulences, majestic. And when people just use the word God, they're referring to somebody who holds an office. It's not a personal name at all. It's like saying president. But the president has a personal name. But if you meet the president, you and me, we have to say, Mr. President. In other countries, you meet the Queen, you have to say, Your Highness. So these people who are the heads of state, they're very exalted people, a higher position than we are anyway. And when we meet them, then we have to treat them with respect because they're very, very powerful people. The President of the United States is a little guy compared to the universe, but when he comes, you know, he's surrounded by Secret Service men, and helicopters are overhead, and so many things are powerful. And so you always have to be careful how you speak and how you act. Nevertheless, he has a private life with his friends, and they have a very different relationship with him. It's similar with the Supreme Lord. He's majestic, and he's called Narayan. But when you meet the Lord in his majestic feature, you feel very small and very tiny, and somewhat afraid, even though he's all attractive, he's very attractive, very wonderful, but still, you know, you're like this because you're so small and he's so great. The Lord is not satisfied with that kind of formal relationship with those whom he loves. He wants to have close relationships. How is he going to do that? He is, in fact, that he's the greatest. Everybody we see who says they're great in this world are just little imitations of him, and they end up, we see they're not so great, even though they proclaim it or try it. But when it comes to Krishna himself, he is number one. Everyone else claims I'm number one, but he is number one. And somebody gets to be number one in this way or that way for a little while, and then suddenly they're down to number 15 again, and somebody else is number one. But he's always number one. He is the supreme. Everybody else is just an imitation. That's his nature. So how is somebody who's that great going to enjoy personal relationships? Well, he manages. When the same Supreme Lord is there in his majestic, opulent feature, he's usually called Narayana. But when the same Lord wants to cover that majesty and let his sweetness come out, and to enjoy personal relationships, then he is Krishna. Same Lord, but different aspect. And so the place that he does this is called Vrindavan. This is an eternal place in the spiritual world that once in a day of Brahma gets manifest for a short time here on earth. So here we see the private life of God. And where love of God becomes unbearably intense. Where the devotee's love for Krishna increases to a pitch of intensity you can't even imagine. And Krishna's love for his devotee also. In fact, there's a competition. Who loves more? This is Vrindavan. And so, Krishna enjoys different kinds of relationships. With different devotees. He wants to enjoy relationships where he can be equal, for example. Just like we have friends that we can pal around with. Is God to be deprived of friendship? Is he so great that everyone's always afraid and stands off and feel subordinate? What if somebody wants to be equal? He wants to have relationships with equals. So they can kid around, they can wrestle. So this is Vrindavan. He has people with whom he has a friendly relationship. Like plays with them like little 10-year-old boys of the same age. Do together. Then, actually, he makes devotees greater than he is. Their devotees, he wants to feel the love of devotees who take care of him like parents. So in Vrindavan, there's Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi. They think this is our little boy. He's God, but they think they have to protect him. Just like parents are always, you know, in anxiety, you be careful when you cross the street, watch out where you're going, don't get in cars with strangers. Always you have to be afraid when you have children, because you have to protect him. They think they have to protect him. Even though he's God, he's protecting everyone. So he causes the devotees to forget. They can enjoy these intimate relationships. And similarly, in the gopis in Vrindavan, he wants to enjoy boyfriend and girlfriend. People like it here. Why do they like it here? Because it comes from Krishna. So that we have this whole idea of romantic love. This is where it comes from. And so Krishna exhibited this in Vrindavan with the gopis, the cowherd maidens. He's like a teenage boy with some teenage girls. The thing that really shocks some people is that these girls appear to be married to other men. Because this is the most intense kind of love. Now, they're not really married to other men. Once an Indian guy from Kerala was talking to Prabhupada. He's a Christian. And typically he had been converted to Christianity by having the missionaries say how bad Krishna is because of these pastimes. And so this man said to Prabhupada, how can you worship a God who's an adulterer? And Prabhupada said, Krishna's not the adulterer. He said, you are the adulterer. All women belong to Krishna. That's a fact. That's a fact. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But there's a kind of play that goes on where it seems that they're the husbands of other men. So Krishna can also enjoy the intensity of love that's forbidden or love that's transgressive. So he and the gopis are they're good girls. You know, they want to be respectable. They want to their husbands and some of them and children. And they want to follow the rules and regulations. They don't want to, but they can't resist Krishna. And actually, they give up everything for their reputations, their families, everything. They put everything at risk just for Krishna. So this is the love. So one night in the autumn season, he plays on his flute, and the gopis leave everything. They leave the milk boiling in the pots, and their babies crying in the cribs, and get dressed, and they go out to meet him in the dark of night. And he teases them. He said, "What are you doing with me here? You shouldn't be alone in the forest with me. You should go back to your husbands and everything." They chastise him for being cruel like that. And, so they were walking together in the forest, all of these young girls, and they were very beginning to get a little proud. And look, now Krishna's with us. He likes us very much. And so, because they were getting proud, he disappeared. He suddenly vanished. And when he vanished, their anguish was condensed. And they began wandering through the forest, almost insane, in the middle of the night, looking for Krishna. And their feeling of separation from Krishna was so intense that he began to play act different things that happened, his lifting of Govardhan Hill, his killing of various demons and so on. So this is what's happening. They're doing like this. So that after enacting various pastimes, it says, while the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan creepers and trees, where is Krishna? See, they're almost incensed. They're saying, trees, have you seen Krishna? They're saying the vine. Does Krishna go this way? So they're asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees where Krishna, the Supreme Soul, might be. They happen to see his footprints in the corner of the forest. The gopis said, the marks of a flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant goat, barleycorn, and so forth on these footprints could be distinguished them as belonging to that great soul, the son of Nanda Maharaj. The gopis began to following Krishna's path as shown by his many footprints. But when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. So they saw the footprints of just mentioned here, a body. special young girl. And they said, here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Maharaj Nanda. He must have put his arm on her shoulder, just as an elephant rests its trunk on the shoulders of an accompanying she elephant. And then you have this verse, certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So the purport, Prabhupada writes, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the word Aradhitaha refers to Srimati Radharani. See this word here, Aradhitaha, perfectly worshipped. So, but in that word, Aradhitaha, or is Radha. Her name is derived from this Radha. So she must have, some gopi has perfectly worshipped. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, the sage Shukadeva Goswami has strived with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word Aradhitaha is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. It came out. He was trying to suppress it, but when he said this word Aradhitaha, there it was. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Sri Ujjvala Nilamani. At the base of her large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella. Below the umbrella, a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toe. The base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that, a flag with a banner. And below, the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goat, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of her large toe of her right foot is a conch shell. Below that, a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Below that, an earring. And below that, earring, a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus altogether, there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus. So this is the occasion where her name comes out. So she is of all the circle of the gopis, Radharani is the foremost. It's explained about her in Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially who Srimati Radharani is. She is the embodiment of Krishna's internal pleasure-giving energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has energies. And his energies, there are many, but they're divided principally into three. They're called internal, external, and marginal. Antyaranga Shakti, internal potency. By the internal potency, the Lord manifests the whole spiritual world. The Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency, it manifests this material world. The middle potency is called Atastha Shakti, by which all the jivas are manifested. Tiny souls are both in the material world or and in the spiritual world. So the internal potency is not different from Krishna. And that internal potency has three divisions. Just as the Lord has these three qualities, Sat, Chit, Ananda, so there's a potency for Sat, or His existence, that potency by which He maintains His own existence and the existence of everything else. This is called Sandini potency. Then Chit, He has a potency of knowledge by which the Lord knows Himself and causes others to know Him. This is called Samvit. And then there's the Pradini Shakti, the Ananda, by which the Lord feels bliss and also causes others to feel bliss. So this is called Pradini Shakti. And Radharani is the embodiment or the personification of this Pradini Shakti. So she's not a jiva. She's actually non-different from Krishna. She's His energy, but she and Krishna are one. He's related very, very intimately with His internal potency. It's the potency which causes Him to feel bliss. So very, very close. He never comes into contact with the external potency. He stays far away from the external potency. Durga Devi is like the shadow of Radharani. So he does not relate closely with her. But with Radha, he's very intimately related, as we shall see. So she is the embodiment of Krishna's internal spiritual energy. And so as he is the supreme male, she is the supreme female. This category, we have a lot of fun in modern times about this categories, male and female. And there's a large group of people who seem to think that they're kind of things that we made up and we can change them around. Or that it's a cultural construct, what is male and what is female. But actually there's such a thing as masculinity and femininity, which are natural qualities, and they're based in biology, psychology, and so on. This difference between male and female, and it's there in transcendence. This is a principle of Vedanta, janma dasyataha. Everything comes from the Supreme. So whatever you see here is a reflection of what is there. So here in this world, there's male and female, and the relationship between them. Where does it come from? It is there in transcendence, and therefore there is. Ultimately, Radha and Krishna, supreme male and supreme female. Now, Krishna has His expansions. His expansions, like Narayana. There are many, many Narayana expansions of Krishna. The one supreme Lord, because He's the supreme person, He just manifests Himself in so many ways. And so simultaneously the one Supreme Lord exists in multiple forms. So the four-handed Narayans are expansions of Krishna. So similarly, Radharani has her expansions. So Lakshmi Devi is Radharani's expansions. They're also her expansions. In fact, the principal gopis in Vrindavan are also expansions of Radharani. There's an example given in this regard. that Krishnadas Kaviraj gives, that Radharani, that Krishna is compared to a tamal tree. A tamal tree has a kind of black bark. And Radharani is like a golden vine that's wrapping around that tree. That tamal tree of Krishna. And on that vine, there are little branches and leaves growing out. Those are the gopis. So they're just also, the principal gopis are expansions of Radharani. They're her in a different form. So because with their many consorts, then the emotions are magnified and increased in this way. But the thing to understand is that, of course, when we see Krishna in his two-handed form, because he's a person, he has a form. Person means that you have senses, and senses means you have form. So Krishna has form, but his form is a spiritual form. It is not a fact that all form is material. Who says? Where is it written? If there's form here in the material world, that's because there's a reflection of form in the spiritual world. If God is just a cloud of gas, just energy, then he's less than we are. So the Lord is actually the greatest. So we have form, so he also has form. Our form limits us, but Krishna's form does not limit him. Our form gives us problem. It grows old, it gets sick, it dies. And so we think maybe the best thing is to have no form. But if God has a form, it doesn't mean that it has all the problems that our form does. So his form is made out of concentrated Brahman. His form is Satchidananda Vigraha. It's not a machine that's full of pumps, pipes, and tubes, and wires. It's a spiritual body, a spiritual form, the spiritual senses. What's the nature of the spiritual body? Well, although Krishna has many variegated parts, the technical word in Sanskrit is vishesha. Vishesha means, Prabhupada usually translates it, variety. So our philosophy is sub-vishesha. Krishna has variety of various particular defined characteristics. There's another philosophy called nir-vishesha. That's the philosophy of impersonalism, of the absolute truth is a homogeneous whole with no name, form, qualities, pastimes, nothing. You take the idea of nothingness and you call it God, then you have nirvishesha. That's all. But when we talk about Krishna, he has vishesha. But his vishesha is such that although there seems to be differences, it's only apparent that actually there is no difference. So this means to say that, for example, my fingers tips are made for touching, right? So I can touch with my hand. So I can feel this microphone like this. But if I look at the microphone, I can't feel it. When Krishna looks at the microphone, he can feel it too. And when he sees some offering of food on the plate, when he sees it, he can taste it. So every sense of every limb can perform the function of all the other limbs. This is the nature of vishesha. Although he has various body parts and limbs and senses, each one can perform the function of all the others. So in us, of course, the first thing we learn is that we are not our bodies. Krishna is his body. With us, I am a spirit soul, and then I have a mind which is called a Shukshma Sharira, a subtle body, and then I have a Stula Sharira, a gross body. The three layers. This is the actual spiritual self, whose attribute is consciousness. Then there's the mind, the subtle body, which thinks and feels and wills and so on. And then the gross body. Earth, water, fire, air, space. And they're different from each other. But when it comes to Krishna, there's no difference between Krishna's soul and Krishna's mind and Krishna's body, Krishna's soul and Krishna's mind, everything is one, unified. Also, those associates of Krishna in the spiritual world, they similarly have spiritual bodies. If we achieve the highest goal of our lives and also at the time of death go to Krishna, we will also have such a body. A body that's really composed of or made of love for Krishna. And it is full expression of love for Krishna. So with Radha, Krishna is fully spiritual and Radha is fully spiritual. So their exchange of love in spiritual bodies is different from the sexual affairs in this world. What we see here is a kind of dim reflection of that. But it's not the... and to experience the original, then it requires that we have to become pure. Krishna Das Kaviraj talks about the love of the gopis for Krishna. He says it is pure and spotless, and it is not at any time lust, using the word kama. It is rather prema. So here's two words. One is kama, that is to say, material desire, and the other is prema, this spiritual love. And he says lust and love, kama and prema, have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. So now he decides it, that kama is atmindriya priti vansha, the desire to satisfy one's own senses. But prema is Krishnendriya Priti Icha, the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. So, in our pure state, the real desire is to satisfy Krishna. This is love. So in spiritual life there is also the gratification of the senses, but it is the gratification of Krishna's senses. Let me be enjoyed by Krishna. That Krishna's, when Krishna, Prabhupada puts it this way, he says a devotee has no other way of feeling happiness except by seeing that Krishna is happy in all respects. So in the material world we think of ourselves as the enjoyer and others are the instruments to our own enjoyment. This is called material affection. But the main thing is my own happiness, and I and others are there to satisfy me. That's the main thing. Of course, I want to make others happy too, but it's usually it's a kind of a deal. You satisfy I satisfy your senses and you'll satisfy my senses. But if the sense gratification stops, no more relationship. So it's, but real love is that I want to satisfy the senses of the other no matter what. So this is what the feelings of devotees. It is actually love. This is called prema. This is real affection. And so the one who really has this in full, overwhelmingly, is Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is so amazed by her love that he actually becomes captivated. There's a list of the different qualities of Krishna. Here we have all around the qualities of Srimati Radharani. Krishna also has qualities, and one of them is called prema vayasa. This means that he becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. And the one that who has the greatest love for Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So we have to say that Radharani is transcendentally more powerful than Krishna. He's defeated by her worship. Not by her trying to become great, but by trying to become small. He becomes attracted by the love of his devotees and becomes controlled by that love. He becomes conquered by, even though no one can conquer Krishna, he becomes conquered by the love of his devotees. So Srimati Radharani has won Krishna's heart. Those who are devotees and transcendentalists, they seek samadhi. That is to say, the mind fixed without any wavering on the Supreme 24 hours a day. This is the goal of yoga, is the samadhi. Bhakti yoga everywhere is this total concentration of the mind on God without any break. Krishna describes it like a candle in a windless place, just steady. Well, who Krishna meditates on like that is Radharani. So, his feeling is that her love is so great for him that he cannot actually reciprocate. And she defeats him. He tries, but she always does better than he. So between Radha and Krishna, you should understand something about this, the nature of spiritual reality. Is that in this that spiritual life and the spiritual realm is not static; it's dynamic, because everything is always increasing. And I was in New Vrindavan on Janmashtami when Prabhupada described this. He was looking at the deities there, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. He said. Krishna and Radha are so kind that they have come to your country looking just like an American boy and girl. And then, looking at those deities, he explained to us how in spiritual life everything is increasing. And he says that when Radha looks at Krishna, and she sees how beautiful he is, her joy increases. And when her joy increases, her beauty increases. Remember, we're talking about people in spiritual bodies. Now, normally, when somebody is happy, they look better. Even a woman that may not be particularly, a girl who may not be considered particularly good looking on her wedding day, she always looks great because she's happy. So we don't people say like that. So when people are happy, they look better. But unfortunately, we have our material bodies, which are different from our mind and different from the soul, so that only goes so far. But in the spiritual life, when Radharani's happiness increases, you see it right away. Her beauty increases. And when Krishna sees that Radharani has gotten more beautiful, his joy increases. And therefore he becomes even better looking. And when Radharani sees that Krishna is even more beautiful, her joy just soars even more, and her beauty just increases, and so on. It goes like this without any end, Prabhupada said. There's no upper limit. There's no upper limit. So this is the dynamic. There's a kind of a competition like this. And there's no upper limit. So the expression of Radharani's love is that of complete selflessness and dedication to Krishna. She says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking in the voice of Srimati Radharani, experiencing her emotions, says the last prayer of his Shastaka prayers, Asrishtavapana Ratam Dinastumam, Adarshanam Mara Mahatam Kautuba, Yatatatava Vidatulam Kato, Makrana Matas, Susa Eva Nabrahman. She is saying, she describes herself as Padaratam, devoted to his feet. I'm fallen and devoted to your feet, and you may pick me up and embrace me, or you may just trample me, step on me. Adarshanam Mara Mahatam Karoti Brahma, or again, by not appearing before me, Mara Mahatam. Scheduled to stop now? Huh? What's going on? Where's our... There's an arty now at 7:30? Okay, I'll just really quickly finish. She says, you can break my heart. You can do anything you want because you are Lampata. Prabhupada translates as devachi, but the more common word would be playboy. But, in any case, you are the Lord of my life, and there will be no other. So this is a complete dedication. You may reciprocate with me or not. You may go somewhere else or not, no matter what. If some other gopi makes you happy, I'll make arrangements for you to see her. Because I have no way of experiencing happiness except by seeing that you're happy. And your happiness is my happiness. This is the dedication. Srimati Radharani ki. Jai.